The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
All right, thank you, ladies. Take your Bible tonight, if you will, and go to the book of Matthew, chapter 5. The book of Matthew, chapter 5 tonight, if you will. Let's look at it together in verse 16. You need not to stand, but I do want you to look at the scripture tonight, please. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16. The Bible says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." And may we pray together. Father, we thank you for tonight. We thank you for the privilege to be able to come, be able to open a Bible tonight, be able to see truth that would change your lives. And Father, I pray, please, that you'd help us. Would you do that tonight? Lord, there's a great truth that's going to be taught, a great truth that's going to be preached tonight. And Father, with your help, it could change your lives, and we could be able to help a lot of people. And Father, I pray for the Boltons. I pray that you'll continue to work in their lives to be able to help them as they go about raising their deputational support and to be able to go to foreign fields. And we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me just give you some thoughts tonight as we talk about, no, we're not having a candlelight service tonight. I'm sorry for that, but I do want you to see some things tonight. I want to speak to you tonight on how to stay on fire in the summer. Now, it took Brother Palmore a long time to get on fire tonight. I mean, he's up here clicking away, and I'm thinking, okay, let me see. I know five other missionaries I could pray for, you know. But let me talk to you tonight about how to stay on fire in the summer. Do you understand that, of course, when we talk about a fire, John the Baptist was a fire burning in the wilderness. Jeremiah talked about God's word was a fire burning in his bones. And Revelation chapter 3, you see that there's the church in Laodicea. The Bible says that they were neither hot nor cold. What happened? They lost their fire. Fire, of course, brings warmth. Fire, of course, brings light. Fire, of course, brings comfort. Fire will take and help us to see a place that we have not seen before in a way that we have not seen it. It lights the path and the direction that we ought to go. And so God allows us to be able to see different fires in our life. But how is it that you and I, now I'm talking about we live in Texas. I have never in my life lived in a hotter place than Texas. I remember just preaching out of town not too long ago, and I preached that conference in North Carolina, and I got off of the plane, and when I got off the plane, I breathed. And when I breathed, and it was nothing but hot air, I said, I'm home. I'm home. But you know, even in a hot environment, you can lose your fire. Because fire is something that is within. Fire is not something that you get necessarily from someone else. Amen. You can be in a fiery hot, I'm talking about red hot preaching church, and you can lose your fire. You can be working on a bus route and lose your fire. You can be somebody, stay with me now, that is reading your Bible through because you're doing it according to the prescription prescribed, and you can lose your fire. You can be somebody that's a Sunday school teacher and lose your fire. You can be somebody that's a missionary. You can be somebody that's a pastor, preacher, evangelist, Christian educator. You can be somebody that's a Christian businessman and have all the desires to stay close to God and lose your fire. You can be somebody that's in a Bible college, Christian academy. You can be a homeschooler. You can be somebody that has a near-perfect dad and near-perfect mom and lose your fire. You could be somebody tonight that would be somebody that was just absolutely right and perfect in your own eyes without fire. Now, I want to give you just a couple things. I'll not keep you long if you say amen. But I want to give you a couple of things tonight. Don't overdo it, Brother Wislowski. But I'm going to give you a couple of things tonight that will help you in not losing your fire. Let me give you a couple of statements tonight. Statement number one, your fire needs attention. Your fire needs attention. In Leviticus chapter 6 and verse 12, the Bible says, "And the fire upon the altar, it says, shall be burning in it, and it shall not be put out. And the priest shall burn wood," it says, "on it every morning." Verse 13, the Bible says, "And the fire shall be burning upon the altar, and it shall never go out." But can I tell you, if a fire does not have attention, it will go out. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 26 and verse 20, where there it says, "Where no wood is, the fire goeth out." So where there is no talebearer, the strife ceases. So God says that here's a person that, okay, you got something, maybe a room or something like that, and somebody just keep putting the wood on. Okay, it never dies, never goes out. That's a talebearer, the Bible says. But wait a minute, God also tells this. God also says where there is no wood, the fire goeth out. So you have to understand where there is no wood, the fire will eventually go out. In other words, if you don't put wood on your soul-winning zeal, it will eventually go out. If you don't put wood on your excitement about being in church, I'm telling you, it will eventually go out. If you don't put wood on reading your Bible and staying right with God on purpose, you will eventually drift, you'll lose interest, and it will go out. By the way, doesn't matter who's preaching in the pulpit. It doesn't matter tonight if it would be John the Baptist or Mike the Baptist. I'm telling you tonight that the truth of the living Word of God ought to be enough to ignite your fire. But tonight we understand that that fire does have the potential of going out. We need to prepare for the fire. We need to provoke the fire. He had this lighter in here, and he kept trying to get this lighter to work, and you know, he kept pulling that thing over and over and over again. Now, what is that? That's attention. You know, I no doubt I didn't open my eyes to look at him. I was just kind of like praying, hoping he would hurry up, you know. But you know, no doubt maybe his face is turning red because he's wanting the fire to go, and he's struggling. And you know, it's got sweat on it. It's probably his sweat, not my sweat. Now, I'm saying that your fire needs attention. By the way, we have enough time in the year to be able to give the right attention to the God that saved us. You know, you have 8,760 hours in a year. 8,760 hours in a year. Let me tell you how the average American spends their year. They spend 168 hours reading the newspaper. They spend 183 hours on the internet. They spend 803 hours eating. They spend 904 hours listening to a radio broadcast or such like. They spend 1,034 hours watching something that is telecast on a flat screen. They spend 3,102 hours on media. They spend 3,139 hours sleeping. That's how we spend our year in America. This year, Americans spent $19.5 million. That is, think about this, throwing darts for 1 hour a week. This year, the average American family spent $27.3 million taking time 2 hours per week to play golf. The average American family spent $40.7 million this year, and that's putting 1 hour a week in shooting pool. This year, 43.8 million, if you would please, spent time, if you would, being able to go fishing. Now that's people going fishing. That's a lot of fishers. Hey, how about going bowling? Here we go, 55 million in 1 year. Okay, now I'm saying this. I'm saying that we have time to be able to do stuff. Let me read it again. 19.5 million Americans, I'm not talking about money now. 19.5 million Americans spent 1 hour throwing the darts. 27.3 million Americans spent 2 hours a week playing golf. 40.7 million Americans spent 1 hour per week shooting pool. 43.8 million Americans spent 1 hour a week at least fishing. And 55 million Americans spent time bowing. I'm saying that maybe we might have our priorities mixed up just a little bit. 30 hours is put in 1 year brushing the teeth, 39 hours in walking on a treadmill, 42 hours in shaving your face if you're a man, 52 hours in walking the dog, 91 hours in showering. At least we have clean people. 183 hours in getting a haircut for a man or putting on makeup as a woman. 614 hours in driving a car. I'm saying that we probably have time to give some attention to make sure that your light doesn't go out. If we got all this time to be able to do all these other things, then why can't we spend a little bit more time making sure the light doesn't go out by getting in the Bible, going soul winning, caring about somebody, reaching somebody with the gospel? I'm saying we need to give attention to make sure that the fire doesn't go out. Amen. Statement number two, how is it you can keep your fire in the summertime? Your fire needs affection. Needs affection. Here's what the Bible says, Matthew chapter 6 and verse 21. The Bible says, for where your treasure is, that's present tense, there will your heart be also, that's future tense. So wherever your treasure is where your heart will eventually become. Now everybody knows that. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15, the Bible says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. John, 1 John chapter 2 and verse 16, the Bible says, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not, it says, of the Father, but of the world. All right? That's how come the Bible says to set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. Isn't it amazing that last year, 2.7 million tons of snacks were eaten in America? 350 million tons of hot dogs were eaten in America. 1.8 billion hamburgers were eaten in America. 10 billion donuts was eaten in America. You ready for this? 9.9 of them by police officers. Billion scoops of ice cream was served in America. 190 million Cokes served in America. 4,848 cups of coffee per second was served in America. 350 slices of pizza per second. That is 90 acres of pizza a day that was served in America last year. America last year per day threw away 245,183 servings that could have been served to people per day. We're a wasteful nation. America spent last year an average of $1,100 on credit card fees per person living in America. Owe $2 trillion in mortgage debt. $870 million was spent on McDonald's last year. $875 million was spent on other restaurants. 44% of all food eaten by Americans last year was spent in restaurants. $240 million was spent on popcorn last year. $45.8 million on Doritos. $8 billion on chocolate. $50 billion on weight loss programs. It's because you ate the chocolate. $9.4 billion on Starbucks. $42 billion on toothpaste. That's to clean your teeth from Starbucks. $34 billion on cable TV. $6 billion on fingernail polish. $7 billion on video games. $30 million on clothes. $2 billion on internet. $18 billion on bird watching and bird food. $23 billion on pet accessories. $27 million on household items bought for the dog. $20 billion on depression medicine. That's because he just got done spending all that other money on everything else. But yet our Bible says in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1, the Bible says, and if ye be risen with Christ, says, seek those things which are above. Says, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God, set your affections, Colossians 3 and verse 2, set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. Colossians chapter 3 and in verse 3, the Bible says, for ye are dead. It says, and your life is hid in Christ in God. Now, wait a minute. So God says this, that I am supposed to be affected, but I'm not supposed to be affected by things on the earth. I am supposed to live and be affected by things above. So my attention should not be primarily about the things that are surrounding me. My attention primarily should be about those things that are above, and that's what I'm supposed to set my affection on. I'm saying this. The Bible says that we're supposed to take and to put our affection on the things above, and then he comes back and he says, not on the things of the earth. So your fire needs attention. Your fire needs affection. Your fire needs air. If I was to take my hand and put it right here on the candle, I would burn my hand. But if I put something else on the candle and I kept it there for a long time, no air, the fire is going to go out. Now, may I say tonight that you need air in your life. You need something. Okay, here we go. Let me show you this. The Bible says that you're a light. You're sitting on a hill. Somebody comes up, a Bible says, don't put your light underneath that which is a bushel. In other words, don't allow something to come over your life to burn out your fire for Christ or your light for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, wait a minute, though. The more air that comes in, the greater the capacity of the burn. Do we understand that tonight? Okay, so if you're around somebody that's running for God, you're around somebody that they're excited about their bus route and they're running for God. You're around somebody that's a soul winner and they're hot tonight and they're on fire. And can I tell you, in fundamentalism, we need more soul winners that's on fire and hot for God. But you get around soul winners that's on fire and they're hot for God, when they're running past you tonight, what's going to happen is your fire, your light is going to burn greater. It's going to burn faster. It's going to burn hotter. I'm saying that you need to get around people that are living for God. Hey, get more excited about God and less excited about yourself. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5 and in verse 18, the Bible says, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled. That's a command, but be filled, it says, with the Spirit, capital S, talking about Holy Spirit. Fresh air will keep the fire burning. By the way, you can tell if you're becoming stagnant. You can. Oh, come on. If you used to come to church and you had a thrill in coming to church, and now you're coming to church and the thrill is gone, it's not the preacher's fault. It's not God's fault. Holy Spirit is still good and well. It's probably your fault. I check out my living. I check out my depth of walk with God. I check out who I was hanging around. I'm saying tonight, I'm saying on the authority of God's Word, God says to be filled with the Spirit of God. Now, what is it tonight that's in your life that should not be in your life that's causing you not to have a desire to be on fire for God? And it's something in the Bible where you read it in your scripture where it says, who hath hindered you? You can always trace a hindering back to a who. There's always a who. There's always somebody that is trying to discourage. There's always somebody that's trying to downplay. There's always somebody that's a who that tries to hinder you. Now, the Bible says here that we're supposed to be filled. Now, wait a minute. And so you get around people that's excited. You get around people that has the fullness of air. You get around people that have the freedom in Jesus Christ. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. You get around somebody that has liberty. You get around somebody, they're not stuffed. They're not always tight. They're not, you say, well, that's just their personality. Man, if I was always tight and stuffy, I'd change my personality. Amen. You know, because the Bible does say where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. You show me somebody that's always tense and uptight when they get around somebody that starts talking about truth, then I'll show you somebody's probably not walking too much in the depths of God's Word. Amen. Let me give it to you tonight. I'm done. Statement number one, I said this, your fire needs attention. Statement number two, your fire needs affection. Statement number three, your fire needs air, and I'm done. Here it is. Your fire needs assembly and activity. Assembly. You know, you can assemble something and not be actively involved in using it. Did you know that? Go ahead. With all good intentions, you've done it if you're older, and I've done it because I am older. You get all excited about riding a bike. And you go online and you find the best bike you can find. And you might put a couple $100 in it, or you might put a couple $1,000 in it. You buy yourself the bike. I mean, I'm telling you, it is the bike. I mean, it is your bike. And you're so excited. You get on that bike and you ride it throughout your neighborhood. Woo! You think the bike is the miracle worker. You think, man, if you just get on the bike and you ride it one time around, all your fat falls off. Man, you get motivated about your bike, and you get on your bike, and you ride your bike, and you take one time around, and it just doesn't work. And then the next day, you wake up, and your legs are hurting. They never hurt that way before. And so, but you say, I'm going to do it. I'm going to ride that bike again. Just not tonight. And so it sits in the garage. You've only ridden it one time. Might have cost you thousands of dollars. And every time you walk by it, you think, boy, that's a good-looking bike. Whew, I'm glad I bought that bike. And your wife, or if you're a boy, your sister that's always nagging on you, says, when are you going to ride that bike? Don't you know you put a lot of money in that bike? Oh, and doesn't that irritate you? And so you say, well, yeah, I'm going to ride it soon. And your soon never comes. Now, you can assemble something and never be active with it, and it will never help you. You know, the Bible talks about the local church as an assembly. The Bible talks about how we are supposed to come together, Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25, forsaking not the assembly of ourselves together. So God calls us an assembly. So we're here. Now you know what God's will is for the local church is not just to assemble. It's to be active. So what are we supposed to do? Be active in doing what? Get yourself some gospel tracts. Tell somebody about Christ. Amen. Be active in doing what? Walk down the hallway and encourage somebody. Be active about sounding the alarm when you think it's time to go. All right, who had it? Raise your hand. Who had it? God bless you, Brother Williams. That was in case he fell asleep in church, he needed to be woke up. Be active. Okay, be active, if you will, and don't just assemble. But when you come together for an assembly, you come together to go do something for God. There's something about assembling on a bus, and then you get actively involved in the bus that changes some young person's life. Amen. There's something about coming to church, and you don't just come and take up your 18 inches or plus a pew. But you come and you say, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to be active for God. I'm talking about how to keep the fire going. The Bible talks about over in 2 Samuel, and I'm done, last verse I'll read you tonight. 2 Samuel 22 and in verse 13, the Bible says, it says, through the brightness before him, it says, were coals of fire kindled. Kindled. Last couple years, I took our staff out for a staff retreat, and we'd go to a camp. And it was a time to retune the staff. It was a time to say, okay, this is our vision. This is the direction. Here's goals. Here is purposes. Here's principles to be able to help you to go this direction. It was a time of training. And many times at night, we built a fire. Around that fire, we'd sit. Sometimes we'd give testimony about what God has done in individuals' lives and whatnot. Sometimes we'd sing. Sometimes I'd read a Bible verse and we'd take a prayer request, sweet time together. You know, if we did not stir that fire, sitting around that fire, it would go out. Now I'm telling you tonight that some of you need to stir your fire. And by the way, preacher can't do it all the time. Hello. And you get mad at me if I did it. You would. If every time you missed soul winning, I called you up and said, okay, you're not here again. What's the problem? You get irritated with me. So what I do is I try to encourage you to come. And thank God many of you are coming. I try to encourage you to go to Sunday school. And I try and encourage you to stay faithful to preaching. But somewhere in your life, you're going to have to get your own personal desire to keep your fire lit. Somewhere in your life, you're going to have to turn the dial a little bit and say, hey, this is for me also. I can do this and I'll step out and I'll obey God all by myself. Hello. I'm saying tonight, make sure that your fire doesn't go out. How do you do it? I said, step number one, give it the attention it rightfully deserves. Give it attention. By the way, you know when it gets low. You know that. Nobody has to tell. You're not a school kid. Most of you I'm talking to tonight. Most of you have been Christians longer than most people that we're reaching even through our bus ministry, many new converts. You know when all of a sudden, come on, you know. My daughter got up here, she sang this morning. I'm not going to try and embarrass her, but I do want you to pray for her. But she got up here this morning, and the family sang this morning, and she was shaking. And man, I thought, man, she is nervous. And then afterwards, you know, she keeled over, and Mama had to get her home. All right, now wait a minute, watch this. She could tell that her blood sugar or her system was dropping. She could tell that. I was in youth conference, and man, you know, when you have a youth conference, you want to be the host. You know, you want to meet everybody's needs. You want to run around. And man, I tell you, I had those preachers here, premier youth speakers in America. And of course, we gave Brother Bachman that doctorate degree and stuff like that from our college. And I had people get upset about that, not here, but just other people, and say, you shouldn't be doing that. And I don't really care. So we gave this guy that, by the way, earned it, by the way, earned it, you know. And so we gave him this honorary doctorate degree. And so sometime during the conference, I'm walking here, and I saw one of our girls, and I don't know what happened. I was over there talking to Brother Leader. It's all his fault. I'm kidding because he listens to this. But I was earlier talking to Brother Leader, and I was shaking his hand, and the whole gymnasium was going black. That's not really a good thing, because I knew it wasn't that supposed to be that way. And then I got real lightheaded, and I thought, man, I don't want attention. I don't want attention. If I'm going to get sick, I want to go someplace else, get sick in a corner, and let me get sick all by myself. And so I don't care for that attention. And I shook his arm, and I held onto his arm. It was a very masculine handshake of the arm. And I said, I need to go. I am glad you're here. And then I walked away, grabbed the wall on the way out, got out to the sidewalk, and my legs gave way. I mean, I was just jello. And it's like, okay, that sidewalk is getting mighty close. And I'm going down, and I called one of the college age girls walking out there, and I said, hey, get me a boy, and called for a boy. Two boys came rushing up behind me and kind of took me in the office there and set me down. Now, wait a minute, watch that. I could tell something was wrong. Now, long before anybody else can tell something's wrong in your life, you can tell something's wrong. You can tell things are not just right. And by the way, when it starts to go wrong here, eventually it's going to show up out here. You can't keep it hid forever. It is going to show up out here. It'll show up in your attitude. It'll show up in your disposition. It'll show up in all the things that you do and don't do in your life. Now, I'm saying this. I'm saying, what do? You give it attention before it goes out. Statement number two, you give it the needed affection. What do? You give it air. What do? You assemble it. Put it back where it needs to be and give it activity. It's a shame that we are the light of the world. And yet, ouch, that one is. Fire will burn you. But it's a shame that we're the light of the world and we just kind of sit. I mean, I'm telling you, that's a shame. Look, I don't think 52 is really old, personally. I don't know how I got 52. I don't know where it came from. I wish it would go back, but it's not. I don't think 52 is really an aged man. I don't feel aged, though I'm not playing dodgeball. But, at age 52, I'm not going to roll over and die. I still got vitality, I've got energy, functionable brain, most of the time. I want to take the light that God has given me, or the lights that I'm allowed to be able to influence in other people's lives, and help them stay lit. Now, you need to do that too. Come on, at the workplace, do they even know you're a Christian? When you come home to the community, do they even know you're a believer? The person that's in your life, do they even know that you have a good profession in Jesus Christ? By the way you act, by the way you talk, by the way you dress, by the music you listen to, the attitude you possess, the way you spend your money, the people that you go around, the people you abstain from. Come on, do they see it at all? I'm saying, look, hey, don't let your light go out. You get somebody up here, they're excited about God, and they're running, and they're running, and they're running. Hey, it fans it. It gets bigger. Hey, if you're not excited about God, you need to tag up with somebody before you drown. Amen. I'm saying there's a way to keep your fire in the summertime. Even in Texas. There's a way to keep your fire.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.